The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm just going to jump into two very important bits of breaking news that we've had come in over the last couple of minutes. The first is that Israeli police say they have arrested a Palestinian man. He's about 50 years of age on suspicion of planning to carry out a terror attack. According to the police, the man who worked at an event hall near Sderot was arrested after pulling a knife on another worker and then fleeing, and apparently he had made online comments about harming Jews. Not breaking news, but I do have hiccups, so please everybody, your patience is appreciated. But while we are speaking online, and yesterday we spoke about the 48-hour Twitter walkout, there has been some breaking news on that front as well. Apparently a tweet with a video that was put out by the US President Donald Trump, in which apparently doctors have made false claims about the coronavirus pandemic, has been pulled, with a statement from Twitter saying tweets with the video are in violation of our COVID-19 misinformation policy. We are taking action in line with our policy. It also has been pulled by Facebook. And this comes at a time where we are demanding not just Jews, but our tremendous allies around the world, including people like Imam of Peace, Imam Tawfiq, as well as Kufi Christians United for Israel, very, very big in the United States, are calling for Wiley's tweets to be removed and for his accounts to be closed. And as we speak, there are still some of his extremely inflammatory and offensive tweets up on a line. So two major bits of breaking news, fresh off the press, well, fresh off the wires and onto Chai FM.
Rolene, I've just got one question. Is there a way to measure, you know, if this Twitter walkout has been successful, is it hasn't been, has it been impactful? You know, how does one measure? And does it count if you go onto Twitter just to see what anyone else is saying?
That's an excellent question. It doesn't count if you're checking out what people are saying. It only counts if you are liking, retweeting, forwarding tweets, and participating. I think what we want to see is concrete action. We want to see Twitter end its double standard. One of the great criticisms that Twitter has faced is that when it comes to President Trump, whether you like him or loathe him, they pull his tweets if they deem it offensive immediately. But the Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, whose tweets calling for the destruction of Israel are allowed to go unpunished. Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, he's allowed to still have a platform. Now we have an issue with Wiley, and it has been proven time and time again that these are not just words. They result in acts of violence and sometimes even death. And his tweet saying that, Jews should be shot, that's calling for violence. Why he is allowed to still have a profile is beyond many of us. And this is what people are saying. And I know some people have said, yes, but, you know, a few Jews being quiet, will that achieve anything? I don't think it's specifically Jews keeping quiet. We've seen a tremendous, tremendous show of support from our allies who are not Jewish, including lawmakers. And we're hoping that when it gets to the stage where it reaches the lawmakers, we will see some kind of concrete action, not just on Twitter, but across all social media. That enough is enough. You take action when something violates your COVID information or when something's racist, but why the double standard when it comes to anti-Semitism?
Rolene, from Twitter, let's go north. What's happening in that tense standoff between Hezbollah and Israel that started yesterday?
Well, it is exactly as you've just mentioned right now, very, very tense. We have had confirmation from the IDF that they have sent more firepower or additional, quote-unquote, advanced firepower along with intelligence collection equipment to the north. So far, since yesterday's flare-up, we haven't had any more of an exchange of fire. We know that the Prime Minister, the Defense Minister, commented together both on Israeli television last night, warning against any enemy country trying to breach our sovereignty or trying to attack. They warned on television. And again today, they've both been assessing the situation in the north earlier today. Defense Minister, who's also our alternate minister, Benny Gantz, he inspected, or he made a visit to a squadron of F-35 fighter jets. And I know, Kathy, you and I are both big fans, and Simon, I think you as well, of F-35s and other flying instruments in that school. But he did say, he said, I'm finishing a visit to an F-35 squadron, which is the most advanced aircraft that the Israeli Air Force has and is one of the best in the world. We have an ability to act at an unprecedented range and level of operational preparedness. I suggest to all countries in the region, near and far, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, or anyone else who may be involved in terrorism, that they remember that Israel has unlimited capabilities and knows how to use it. So very, very strong words from the defense minister, who also served as the Ramatkal, as the chief of the Israeli defense forces, but also kol hakavod to a young female soldier who yesterday was the first to spot these two groups of terrorists infiltrating the border and made sure that we acted very, very quickly. And just to confirm that we've had no casualties on our side. What is very interesting is Hezbollah, because they were roundly defeated yesterday, actually denied that any event had happened. So where we stand at the moment, it is very, very tense. We will be watching our northern borders quite closely over the next coming days, and we are expecting or at least anticipating any kind of further action coming from their side. The president of Lebanon saying earlier today that this causes a tremendous amount of instability, rather, not just for his country, but also for the region.
Just a bit, you'll keep us updated, no doubt. Let's cross over to the United States, where there was a proposal from certain Democrats to condition aid to Israel upon non-annexation. What's happened with that story, Rolene?
Well, it is very interesting because we are now approaching August, and we know that towards the end of the year, November to be exact, we will have the presidential standoff, or the big election between Trump, who will run for a second term, and the likelihood of going up against a Democratic hopeful Biden. And there's been a lot of concern from many. Where does the Democratic Party stand with regards to Israel? We hear a lot of noise from people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, you know, the rookie congresswoman. And I think we also have to understand that because they're rookie congresswomen, that they will get a lot of coverage. They seem to take a stand against the establishment. I can almost hear you, Clive, I'm talking to you, saying Nancy Pelosi, what about her? But one thing that we have seen yesterday is a vote by a very, very clear majority of 117-34. And this is on the Democratic Party's committee that draft the platforms on which the Democratic Party will stand with regard to the 2020 elections. They have rejected any amendment that would mention Israeli occupation with regards to our relations with the Palestinians. And also it rejected any language that says that aid to Israel will be conditional on whether or not Prime Minister Netanyahu follows through on his plans to either annex or apply sovereignty to parts of the West Bank. So it does tell us something very important, that when it comes to bipartisan support for the State of Israel, that both the Republican and Democratic Party hold firm, they're both highly supportive, that when it comes to aid, that is not up for any conditions. And don't ask me where presidential hopeful Kanye West stands on his platform vis-a-vis Israel, because I really couldn't tell you what he thinks with regards to aid. But it's very important that we see this, because this is a clause pushed forward by people like Bernie Sanders, like J Street, and others.
Do you think that Kanye West will run? I mean, considering the mental health issues that he's been facing.
Well, he has put forward his his bid for, and so far he's on the ballot in Oklahoma. He's putting forward his bid to run on the ballot for other states. So he's pretty serious about it. So let's see what happens.
Did you see those pictures in the Daily Mail with him and Kim? Terrible.
Do I ever miss the Daily Mail?
Okay, silly question. Yes, and we go there to see what's happening with Harry and Meghan. Okay, just very quickly, Rolene, protest drama. What's happening with the protests?
Well, there has been a lot of protests around Israel today. Up for discussion in the Knesset was whether or not the police should carry on using water cannons. These are protests both for and against Netanyahu, both with the economy and with regards to the government's handling of COVID. Yesterday, Public Security Minister Amir Ohana called on the police to squash, or in his words, to quell the protests. And we heard from our president, and I have 1 second remaining, who said it's our democratic right, or the democratic right of the citizens of Israel to protest.
Right. Rolene Marks, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, you're going to have Simon tomorrow. You won't have me because I will be getting ready for the fast of Tisha B'Av. And if you're fasting, I wish you an easy and a meaningful fast.
An easy and meaningful fast, people who are fasting, but I'm on my way back to the Daily Mail. You know you can't tear me away.
Well, you can actually read the Daily Mail on Tisha B'Av because it's just bad news from one end to the next. So it's anything that you find depressing or mournful. But you know what, really, I mean, may this just be the last Tisha B'Av that we have to observe in this mournful, sad,